Welcome to the deep dive. We've gone through that mountain of research you sent us, the definitive rankings, the hardware breakdowns, all the expert analysis of the 2025 gaming year. And our mission today is a pretty targeted one. We want to give you the ultimate shortcut to being completely informed about what defined the last 12 months in gaming. And I'm just going to skip the suspense. I'll spoil it right now because the data is just so clear. 2025 was surprisingly not the year of revolution.
No, not at
It
all.
was the year of refinement.
Exactly. It's the year where developers, they finally stop struggling with the hardware and just achieve total mastery of its potential.
But here's the real hook, the thing that tops every single chart we saw. The undisputed champion. It was a $30 indie game.
And that's the big story, isn't it? That narrative, that budget doesn't equal brilliance. I mean, the high-budget games were incredible, technically polished. But they were under this immense pressure from a revitalized and frankly aggressive indie scene.
So the indies didn't just step up.
They carried the industry. They really did. They proved you absolutely do not need a $200 million budget to make a masterpiece.
Okay, let's unpack that. I think we should start with those kings of refinement you mentioned, the big AAA contenders that, push the graphical ceilings.
For sure.
And we have to start with the one that felt like a genuine event, Death Stranding 2, on the beach.
Right. Hideo Kojima again.
I mean, he just delivered something that was more than a game. The sources all describe it as this triumphant masterclass. The traversal is better, the atmosphere is deeper. It's essential if you value narrative at all.
But the real conversation around that game, the one everyone is having, is purely technical. It basically sets the benchmark for the next few years.
So we're talking about the Decima engine on the PS5 Pro.
We are, and we're talking about a level of graphical fidelity we've only like dreamed of on a console.
What does that mean in practical terms?
Okay, so for you, the listener, the analysis highlights this one key thing. Native 4K resolution with full path tracing enabled.
Which is a
Clear.
huge deal.
It's a massive deal. Path tracing isn't just pretty lighting. It's a way of rendering that simulates how light behaves in the real world, bouncing, scattering. To do that at native 4K on a console is, well, it's staggering.
Genuinely staggering. And speaking of things that define a console, we have to talk about the one that felt like it took forever to get here.
Metroid Prime 4. Beyond.
After what, a decade-long wait?
It felt like it, and it absolutely became the definitive must-have reason to buy the new Nintendo Switch 2.
But it's not doing it with raw power, right? That's what the sources said.
Not at all. It's all about pristine execution and just incredible art direction. I mean, to hit a locked 60 frames per second, which you absolutely need for a game that fast, it used a DLSS equivalent upscaling tech.
So it's using AI to make the picture sharper.
Exactly. It renders at a lower resolution and then AI intelligently rebuilds the image. It's the absolute triumph of efficiency over just brute force.
So if Metroid is about efficiency, then Monster Hunter Wilds sort of asks the next question. How much value can you possibly cram into a $70 game?
A lot, it turns out.
Capcom just keeps perfecting that formula. But the big innovation here was the seamless open world. No more loading screens between zones.
And that's not just a tactical trick, you know. It fundamentally changes the hunt. You get these organic, dynamic moments where monsters cross paths, and you, the player, you just have to adapt on the fly. It's brilliant.
Absolutely. And you combine that with the value, I mean, 70 bucks for easily 200 plus hours of content, the cost per hour is just unbeatable.
And the crossplay. Can't forget that. The sources were unanimous. It finally united the whole community, no matter what box they were playing on. A huge win.
A massive win. But as great as these AAA games were, the story of the year, like we said at the top.
It belongs to the underdogs.
Yeah.
The massive indie upset.
Which brings us to the number one game of the year, Hades II.
Price tag, $29.99.
And a universal flawless 10-10 score. I mean, Supergeon Games is just showing off now. They took a perfect game and just expanded it perfectly.
The key was the new protagonist, Malinois.
Right. Where Zygrace was all hack and slash, she brings in this completely distinct magical combat style. It feels so fluid and strategic. It's a new game, not just an expansion pack.
That's why they're calling it the gold standard for sequels.
And for the pragmatic player out there, it runs beautifully on everything, even the Steam Deck. That optimization definitely helped its success.
And if Hades II was the gold standard, then Hollow Knight. Six-Song was the reward for years of patience, the meme that finally became a masterpiece.
Did it live up to the hype?
Oh, yeah. The sources confirm it's everything fans wanted. Hornet is faster, way more acrobatic. The world is huge. The platforming is just unmatched.
But this is where Silksong becomes more than just a game, right? There's a bigger industry story here.
A huge one. It launched day one on Xbox Game Pass.
And that single move instantly made Game Pass essential for millions of people. It just changed the whole conversation about subscription value overnight.
For sure. It wasn't just about old games anymore. It was your ticket to one of the most anticipated releases of the decade.
That really sets the table for our genre deep dive, because that trend of refinement, of perfecting a known formula, it was huge in shooters and RPGs this year.
Yeah, it really was.
Let's start with shooters. Doom. The Dark Ages. They swapped sci-fi for dark fantasy.
Which was a risky move.
A huge risk, but it paid off. The sources loved it. And they especially loved the change to combat from that shield saw. A shield that turns into a chainsaw.
It just sounds like Doom, doesn't it?
It added this element of defense and parrying that just wasn't there before. It felt more strategic, not just full-on aggression all the time.
And technically, the sources crowned it the best optimized game of the year. Period.
And that matters. It really does. We're talking about $700 consoles, but the fact that Doom runs over 100 FPS on a mid-range card like an RTX 4060...
It democratizes the experience.
Exactly. It means you don't have to spend a fortune to get an incredible experience. Then you've got the other big shooter story.
The return to form.
A massive return to form for Call of Duty. Black Ops Gulf War. The campaign was apparently the best in a decade. Gritty, espionage, early 90s. Classic Black Ops. And the multiplayer felt faster because of that new Omni movement system. It basically just lets you keep your momentum when you're sliding and diving. It got rid of that stop-start feeling and brought back that kinetic flow fans wanted.
Now, switching gears to RPGs.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic year. Obsidian's Avowed finally landed.
Their answer to Skyrim.
Sort of. The sources praised it for being smaller, actually. More focused. A dense world where your choices felt like they had more immediate weight. And the combat was punchier, the magic system was just plain fun.
What stood out to me from the analysis was the aesthetic, the Living Lands. It was described as vibrant and colorful after so many years of grim, dreary fantasy worlds.
It's a breath of fresh air, it really was.
Visually, at least.
And then there's the other RPG titan, Persona 6. Atlas pulled off a complete aesthetic reinvention. They went with this fresh, energetic green theme.
And the sources still call it the absolute best 100-hour lifestyle game.
Without a doubt. The social systems are deeper. The turn-based combat is snappier. It just keeps that huge runtime from ever feeling like a slog.
So, okay. We have this incredible list of games. But the next logical question for you, the listener, is... Where do you even play them? And what's it going to cost? This was a big hardware transition year.
A really big one.
Let's start with value. The Nintendo Switch 2 at $399 is the clear winner. The analysis says it's powerful enough for competent ports of big games, even Call of Duty.
Which is pretty amazing.
And you still get those unbeatable Nintendo exclusives like Metroid. It's the one to buy if you're only buying one.
The other options are way more specialized. Take the PS5 Pro. At $699, it's definitively a niche luxury.
So why niche?
Well, the sources are clear. For the average person with a normal 4K TV, you're just not going to see enough of a difference to justify that extra $200 over the base model.
Right. It's for the enthusiast.
Exactly. It exists for games like Death Stranding 2. For the person with a high-end OLED who demands path tracing and native 4K, it's not for everyone.
And at the absolute ceiling, you have PC with the new RTX 50 series cards. If you want path tracing at 4K and 120 hertz, that's your only option.
But it comes with the highest price tag, by far.
Which leads us straight into the whole subscription service debate. The sources argue that the $70 price point is just unsustainable for most people.
It is. Especially when you get four or five of those games dropping in the same quarter.
So what does that mean for your wallet? The undisputed winner here is Xbox Game Pass Ultimate.
The value is just undeniable. We just talked about four huge games, Call of Duty, Avowed, Silksong, and Doom. All of them launched day one on the service.
And the math on that is staggering. Buying those four games separately would cost you $280.
And on Game Pass, you just have them. It's a huge saving. Now, you have to weigh that, of course. You're renting access, you don't own the games. But for someone who wants to play everything right away, it's unparalleled.
The runner-up, though, is PlayStation Plus Extra. It's a bit cheaper. And while it still doesn't have those day one exclusives...
Which is a major weakness, for sure.
It is, but their back catalog got so strong this year, they added huge games like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So it's become an essential library for catching up.
Right. Now, before we wrap this all up, we have to talk about the elephant in the room.
The waiting game. Yes. The official delay of Grand Theft Auto VI to November 19th, 2026.
A collective sigh from gamers everywhere.
A huge sigh. But the analysts did provide a really good alternative to scratch that open-world crime itch. Mafia. The old country.
Yeah, this one flew under the radar a bit, but it was excellent. A prequel set in 1930s Sicily. Just a really tight, narrative-driven mob story.
And the sources praised its atmosphere above all else. That sense of time and place. It might not have the sandbox chaos of a GTA, but it delivered a meticulously crafted emotional crime story.
So to kind of cement everything we've talked about, let's just run through that final top five ranking again. It really reinforces the year's big themes.
Go for it.
Okay. Number one, The Champion. Hades II. A perfect 10-10. Number two and three were those twin console benchmarks. Death Stranding 2 and Metroid Prime 4, both with a 9.5. And rounding it out, showing off value and optimization, you have Monster Hunter Wilds and Doom. The Dark Ages, both at a solid 9 out of 10.
So what's the big takeaway for you, the listener? I think it's that 2025 was absolutely the year of refinement. The hardware's potential was finally unlocked.
But the true heart of the industry.
The true heart was the indie revolution, where flawless execution beat out budget every single time.
Absolutely. And the final thought from the source, they called it the commander's final take, is the perfect thing for you to think about going into next year.
What's the advice?
It's simple, but it's profound. Don't be afraid to skip the $70 blockbusters for a $30 indie gem.
And that's the challenge for you, isn't it? What does that advice really mean for your gaming soul and, more importantly, for your wallet? Are you chasing the tech or are you chasing the craft? That is a deep dive for another day. Thank you for joining us.
We'll see you next time.